Okay, take two. Ready? Merry holiday.
Oh.
Inclusive.
Very inclusive.
Happy, whatever day this comes out on. The 23rd? I'm not sure.
I think it's a nothing day.
It's a nothing day for sure, but it is quite close to Christmas. And as you guys know, we normally take that week off.
Yeah, not this year.
No. Because we don't have the crushing sense of obligation of rushing around buying gifts and seeing family, because we're being safe, mostly.
Yeah. I mean, so safe, actually. We are sitting, if you haven't noticed, if you can't hear the ambiance.
Oh.
So for this special Christmas slash Yule slash winter.
Miss? Winter miss?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, sewed.
Yeah.
We're doing some campfire. We're telling scary ghost stories at fire.
As is tradition with Christmas. On that note of ambulance.
Oh. Amulet.
Amaretto.
Amygdala.
Medulla oblongata.
That's good.
Like, stop it. On the note of ambiance, you might be able to tell that we are in the middle of the forest.
Yeah, we're not. We've left the screened-in porch. We've left the safety of the screened-in porch.
Venturing out.
Yeah, and so we're actually outside by the fire pit, all set up. We have a lamp. Actually, it's a very moody, nice setup.
You guys, listen to this. Not only do we have a roaring fire, sir, we have like a bedside table with a real lamp on it and the brand spanking ass new microphone setup that we have.
Yeah man. So
hopefully you guys can tell a difference in
it might be tricky since the first time we're using them we're outside.
We'll see. Yeah, and it's also the first time that we're using these mics, so there's going to be a period of trial and error. This is basically me begging you to not immediately run to Facebook and tell us how shitty we sound.
Yeah, that we've made a shitty business decision.
Yeah. Everyone's like, I'm canceling Patreon. This is what I pay for. However, we are here to tell some ghost stories, as Macy said, and I wanted to talk about this a little bit. From a very young age, that song, The Most Wonderful Time of the Year, there's that line in it, okay? If you remember, it's, there'll be parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting, and caroling out in the snow.
Caroling out, is it out in the snow? I don't remember the melody.
I forget the melody of that particular line. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories that...
I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Like Christmas is long, long ago.
Yes, actually, you have the part that I didn't remember. It's, there'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmas is long, long ago. And that line stuck out to me about scary ghost stories.
Oh beverage delivery.
It's bevies.
Oh, the bevs.
The bevs are here.
Bevy boys.
Everyone, say Merry Christmas to the Hot Boys.
Hot Boys. Bring hot in boys. Hot Bevs.
Watch it, it's hot.
Oh.
That's their tagline, the Hot Boys.
Watch out, it's hot. Oh, that's fantastic.
Thank you. Hey,
thank y'all.
I appreciate it.
Oh, piping hot coffee. There is absolutely nothing like a fire and a cup of coffee.
I have a little blanket.
And it's a good temperature. You might be a little chilly.
But it's nice.
Yeah.
It's cozy chili.
It's a cozy chili.
You know?
Yeah. I also want to point out that we are not too far from a major highway in Texas. I believe the most major highway in Texas.
It's the most
major highway in Texas. there'll be constant accidents.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, so if we're getting some road noise, sorry, but try to focus on the crackling fire and the insects in the distance.
Yeah.
It's Christmas. Fuck off.
You're going to hear my goddamn cat, too. He's around.
Mm-hmm.
He's already been in the way a lot.
Oh, yeah. That line about there'll be scary ghost stories stuck out to me, and it has confused me for a long time.
Uh-huh.
But I knew there was some kind of tie-in with ghost stories, so I looked into it a little bit. The tradition of ghost stories or the tie to ghosty things around Christmas time. No one really has an exact explanation for why this exists, okay. why spooky stories. But everything I've seen, it's kind of an amalgamation between Christmas time. Oh, somebody with a big heavy trailer is going by. Okay.
It's country,
come
y'all.
On now. Gotta get the fade. Gotta get the fade to the cows. Okay. It's an amalgamation of Christmas time. You're all getting together. You're usually doing what we're doing right now. You're sitting around a fire. Mm-hmm. It's kind of chilly outside. You're staying up. The nights are long, so it gets dark really quickly. There's usually booze involved. And as we all know already, Christmas is a it's just a mixing pot of pagan shit.
Yeah.
And pagan shit is very ghosty in nature.
Pagans love ghosts.
Pagans love ghosts. You heard it here. So that's sort of the reasoning behind why we do ghost story stuff. It's just this accidental, perfect breeding ground of all these different things that leads to ghost stories being a tradition. And we want to add on to that tradition today and tell some ghost stories.
Yeah, tell some ghost stories.
Macy, what's the episode name?
This short, but
surprising.
Full.
Oh.
Spooky-sode. Is this Christmas Merry episode short spooky sode is called the Spooky Chode.
The Spooky Chode.
Yeah.
The short and full spooky sode.
Thick with spook.
Yes, and it was unexpected. It kind of came out of nowhere, you know? This is sort of off the cuff, man. We kind of decided last minute that let's not take this week off. Mm-hmm. Let's put out an episode. It gives us a chance to hang out, you know, and hang out have we done today.
We have. It's lovely.
But also, you know, God, Jesus Christ. Sorry, a whole ass motorcycle gang.
I think that's exactly what happened.
Just decided to scoot by. We have 6 stories for you today, and I think we should just jump in. And Merry Wintermas. Should we flick a snack to see who goes first?
Sure. As usual, I have a Bic lighter.
That's true, but there's not really any... Oh, there's a label side and a not label side.
What do you want?
I want the not label side because I'm nonconformist.
Right.
Yeah.
It's label side.
Oh, so you go first.
You're damn right I do.
You goddamn right.
This first story was sent in by either Rowan or Rohan S., Now,
can we talk about the name Rohan?
I'm
here for it. Riders of the Rohirrim. Oh, you know another perk of recording in person again is we get to synchronize our bullshit songs again, and they don't sound like 2 seconds apart from each other.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You get us in real time.
Mm.
Here we go. I personally did not witness this happen, but both my parents did, and there is physical proof from the event. It happened in the basement of our house in the TV room before we had renovated it. There was a huge window in the room, and the window ledge was full of foam hands from hockey games, rocks from beach trips, trinkets, etc. My parents were sitting on the couch, which was positioned beside the window, sort of an L shape, and all of a sudden, a neat cylindrical rock that I had found a while back flew about 5 feet into the air, broke perfectly in half, and landed on the floor in front of my parents.
Ooh.
My parents were excited and freaked out at the same time to have witnessed that and were sure to tell me what happened the next day. The window was not open, and if there was any wind that could have moved a rock, the foam hands on the window would have flown off too, right? The only rational explanation is ghosts.
Yeah.
To add to this, the foam hands fell off the windowsill several times before and after this event, but honestly, it could have been the wind. This event still freaks me out to this day, and I've only told a few people about it. It happened in 2 parts. The first was when I was home alone during summer, about a few years back. It's always when you're home alone.
Alone.
Always. This was after we had done renovations to the basement, and it is now one big open plan room, except for 3 very small rooms. My room, the bathroom, and the laundry room. We have an open hallway space behind our couch to get to the laundry room, and the TV is the other wall parallel to the hallway and couch. I was sitting on the couch, the TV was off, and I was staring into the blackness, just zoning out as one does.
Yeah.
For some reason, I tuned back in to notice a large disembodied featureless, pale face right above my head behind the couch that was being reflected in the black TV screen. Fucking hate that. To give you an idea of what it looked like, imagine what your friend looks like with a flashlight under the chin.
Ew.
But with dark holes where the eye should be, no mouth, and a good 20 shades paler. I froze, stared at it for a few seconds, blinked in disbelief, and it was gone. I tried to rationalize it by telling myself that I just freaked myself out with my own reflection in the TV. I am very pale, so I half believed myself. I saw the face a second time, though, a few months later. Mm. As I said before, my bedroom is in the basement, and I have had a bad habit of staying up way too late. One night, I walked to the washroom around 2 a.m.
There's your first fucking mistake.
Yeah. I can't imagine the stuff that I would see if I stayed up late. Like,
oh, boy.
I just feel like it happens.
Oh, yeah. They just come out to play.
Yeah.
Especially when you're basically asking for it to happen by having your bedroom in a basement and then crossing to the crossing hallways and shit to get to a different location.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
It's gonna happen.
Yeah.
One night I walked to the washroom around 2 a.m. When I passed the laundry room hallway area coming back, something drew me to look, and I saw a large pale face once again in the same spot right behind just above the couch. I'm glad I was coming back from the bathroom because I probably would have pissed myself in fear. I only connected the two events when I was talking about the paranormal and ghost experiences with my friend and his mom. It made both events freakier when I realized, I guess I wasn't just imagining things. So whenever I leave my room at night, I stare down that hallway to make sure there's nothing there. And I do often feel like I have eyes on my back when I leave the room at night. So I don't know what is going on. I haven't seen the face since then.
Ooh.
I'm going to be super Are You Afraid of the Dark, and I'm going to burn this.
Dude, I was... Oh, my God, dude. I was thinking that.
Oh, yeah. Baby. Look at that.
So, you guys, if you're listening and we read your story, know that we, with love, with no disrespect, are tossing these into the flame simply to be super cool and spooky goth about it.
You know.
So, it's great. I have had an experience like that with the television. I think I've told you about it before. Where I was watching TV and I turned it off. And you know, after you turn the TV off, you can kind of see like your reflection in it for just a sec. And saw like a figure sort of standing behind me. And that was one of my very first like, oh, this is clearly, clearly something's going on here. So I'm sorry you had to see that. But at the same time, stop asking for trouble by walking to secondary locations at 2 o'clock in the morning.
You just go to bed.
Just go to bed! Also, I love that the ghost is, like, just trying to watch TV over the couch.
Yeah, man, it's just, like, chilling, you know?
Just trying to watch...
It probably didn't have TV in its time.
Fucking forged in flame or whatever.
Forged in fire.
Yeah. Great British bake-off.
Oh. It just wants to know how to make choux pastry.
Yeah, you know, it just wants to know what the fuck squidgy means.
A victorious sponge.
Oh. Macy and I have decided that one episode we're gonna jump on and just do the whole thing in accents. So.
But like not even a
real accent.
And not even sticking to one accent.
Yeah, no, just kind of flow in and out of anything that we can grasp onto at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Y'all are gonna hate it.
Yeah. We'll be Australian, then we'll be a New Yorker, then we'll be Scottish.
You know. Whatever our heart wants.
I think they'll love it. Can I tell you how many Australians have actually been like, I'm totally chill with the Australian voice.
Yeah, great.
I'll tell you, Mace, probably three. This next story is from Augustine.
Oh, lovely.
I grew up partially in a small New England town called Charlemont. Charmander. I was like, want to check and make sure if you have another one. It has lots of history, but even more so, lots of paranormal landmarks. One of which is the Charlemont Inn that often served as a town hall for yearly events. When I was about 6 to 8, we would go every year to the inn for town Christmas gathering. That sounds lovely.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always stoked to go. My mom had dressed me up this specific year in a black velvet dress. I was really small for my age, and I was a mute kid.
Mm.
I spoke small phrases when I needed something, and only to adults that I trusted, and I was heavily abused at the time. I don't know if that factored into my experience at all, but it's important. The dining hall had been cleared of tables, and a princess foldable castle had been put up, with tunnels going to different parts of the castle, like a hamster cage,
cool,
but for kids. I had tried playing it, and there were many kids all inside together, which made me panic.
Same.
But it got to the point where I couldn't find the out. I couldn't find the exit. I just couldn't breathe. I looked around me, and it felt like all of these kids were just repeating, and I couldn't find the zipped up door. Oh, I know that feeling where you just feel like there's 400 people, even though there's like really two. I freaked out and cried, and my mom came and got me out, and I was nauseous and wanted to puke. So my mom banned me from the only place kids were playing. So instead, I had a big creepy inn to roam. I found a few kids playing hide and seek. My sister, who's very loud and sociable, was playing, so she spoke for me, letting me join in. There was one rule made by my mother. No one was to go upstairs to the sleeping quarters. She said this standing at the stair landing. These wide, dark wood stairs loomed behind her, and her hand was leaning on the post as she waved her hand at us. I mean it. I don't want to bother what's up there. In her perspective, she meant the guests of the inn, but now it feels like a creepy foreshadowing. I was playing, and we had a few normal rounds, but I was running out of places to hide, and I was frustrated. I wasn't very good at it. All the other kids were older, as it was just them who couldn't fit into the princess castle anymore. So I looked up the stairs to the yellow-lit hallway above. I went up to the stairs, thinking I'd sit in a hallway until they gave up, not really understanding the concept of cheating. Now is a good time to explain the history of the Charlemont Inn. I encourage you guys to do some research, too. I'm not sure what's local legend and what's factual. Charlemont was a heavy traffic stop in Native American nomadic routes in the Civil War. The Mohawk Trail is littered with battle sites. The inn opened their doors to soldiers to sleep at night before they continued their journey. It was burned down twice with the soldiers inside. And remade on top of that. I love that energy when it's just like, just redo it. It had hundreds of ghost sightings and reappearing apparitions. The way the upper floor was made into one long hallway and many hallways branching off to the sides, it had no paintings, just doors going down each branch corridor. And a window with a chair at the very end.
Of course, why not?
Probably a rocking chair.
Yeah.
I walked along the main corridor, looking down them. Scared to see an old, angry lady who would tell my mom that I broke the rules, but instead, I looked down one, and on the other end was a man. He was dressed up in a costume. I thought so anyways. It was brown and dirty and stained, and I wondered if it had something to do with a Christmas play or something. I didn't know the events of the Bible very well, so I stood quietly, afraid to be caught, and gave a small wave. This guy didn't look happy. He looked very pained and very sad. I felt the air creep from his end of the hallway into my bones, and I shivered. I ran immediately back down the stairs and lost yet another game of hide-and-seek. This feeling stayed with me. I kept looking around and waiting for my mom to angrily stomp up to me and let me know that I had upset a guest. We played another round of hide-and-seek, and I tried to act like I was okay. I hadn't spoken a word to anyone anyways. I had recently picked up the idea of hiding in plain sight.
Okay.
From a mystical novel that I had read. So I hid in the phone booth on the first floor. It was a little enclave in the wall with red velvet interior and one of those old phones that you had to hold in your mouth. You had to hold to your mouth and your ear with a sliding glass door. I waited maybe about a minute before I was caught, obviously, and I was bummed. But then I tried to leave. The door wouldn't budge, not even wiggle on the loose track, like it had been glued in place within the last 30 seconds that I had been there. The older boy who found me tried to open it, and he struggled as well. I started to get upset, so he grabbed my sister, who tried her best to move the glass and kept yelling at me to unlock it. I looked at the door, and all around, there was nothing that would even pass as a lock or a hinge. I started to cry instead of replying to her, so she went to get my mother. My mother is tall, Native American, and worked on a farm at the time, so she was stronger than most men in the building. She yanked on the door, and it didn't work. But then she pulled with her body weight and it flew open. I jumped out and my mom again banned me from the game. I never told her that I cheated and went upstairs. And the glass doors never locked again. For the rest of the night, I sat next to my mom at a table in the bar area, eating fries and listening to the conversations, my eyes on the door that led to the rest of the inn, waiting to see if that man in dirty clothes came back. Years later, I looked up the inn and read about the paranormal activity. One of the recurring apparitions is a young man in uniform who had been burned in the fire during the Civil War, who is seen in the sleeping quarters of the inn. As soon as I read those words, I was cold and my eyes were watering. I had pushed off the idea that maybe I'd seen a ghost of someone who had once been there, and the pain I felt in that hallway seeped into my bones again. Into the fire.
It's actually really hard to get it into the fire.
It's just kind of sideways.
I'm going to throw a log on there.
I think you should. So as Macy throws another log onto the fire. I hope that sound shows up. Oh, baby.
Yeah, baby.
So what are your feelings on residual haunts? Do they scare you the same?
No.
Yeah.
They don't. I mean, of course, like, don't get me wrong. Like, if I were to see one, I'd be fucking rattled.
Yeah.
But it's nothing to be afraid of to me. It's just like stone tape theory stuff. It's energy imprintation.
It seems to me that residual stuff always comes in a little clearer. You know, because an intelligent haunting, that takes so much energy.
Yeah, to push through.
To break through. So it seems to me that those residual things where you're seeing someone in their outfit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, I don't know. I fucking am so scared of seeing a dead soldier. For some reason, out of all things to me, that is the scariest thing I could see.
Really?
Well, because it's such a horrifying...
Yeah.
It's just such a horrifying thing to me. Mm-hmm. Especially back in those times where there are a million different ways you could go.
Oh, yeah.
You know, besides just being killed in battle.
Chances of getting killed in battle were just so much higher.
Mm. And I felt like there's such a sadness around that because you know that, you know. But I also do love the very accurate description of playing hide and seek with older kids.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I appreciate that.
This next one was sent in. Oh God, this is gonna be rough. I can. It's just the first sentence mentioned sleep paralysis.
Oh,
this was sent in by Sedona.
Sedona.
Hey, little Hollywood. I have had sleep paralysis episodes for most of my life.
Oh,
I'm 25 now, and my first memory of experiencing it happened when my family relocated to the South when I was 6. I had my own room, and when I would go to sleep, sometimes I would open my eyes and see one or as many as 3 black figures standing in my room in the dark, all facing my bed.
That's just how Southerners say welcome to the neighborhood.
You know, howdy neighbor. Standing still and watching me with featureless faces. I would immediately close my eyes, paralyzed with fear, and wait for them to be gone and try to fall asleep again. Every time I would peek my eyelashes, they would be just a little bit closer. I would shut my eyes quickly again, and this process of them inching closer seemed to go on for hours until one would be sitting at the foot of my bed. As a little kid, I thought I was being visited by aliens. This was in an apartment that my parents rented. I would also see eyes peering at me from my closet, which I could see into from my bed, of course. However, this could have been our old black cat named Jasper. Still creeped me out as a kid, but now I feel like he was watching over me. Eventually, my parents bought a house in a suburban area that's where I lived through middle school and high school. My parents also went through a particularly nasty divorce, so I ended up having 2 homes through this time of my life. At my mother's house, my brother and I would watch TV when we got home from school. We would frequently hear things shifting in the attic above us, but we would look at each other as if to confirm, you heard that too? Mm-hmm. And then we would just resume watching our show. We only went up there a couple of times a year, mostly to get Christmas decorations and put them back up after the holidays. And every time we went up there, all of the boxes would be pushed against the walls instead of close to the steps like we would leave them. Uh-huh. I never liked being alone in the house, even in the broad daylight.
Very, very passive attitude so far to a lot of this.
One time, I was washing dishes in the kitchen when I was home alone. Ugh. Yeah. I hate doing that.
Know where this is going, man.
It was in the middle of the day on a weekend. I could feel the air from behind me move in a breeze, and I felt footsteps on the tile as someone walked behind me through the kitchen. I turned to see who was home, and I realized the house was silent, and I was the only living thing there. The hairs on my neck stood up, and I stopped cleaning, as I didn't want my back turned to the house anymore. There was another instance where my mother and I were doing some spring cleaning one day. I was in the front half of the house that had the living rooms and kitchen. I heard her calling my name from the back half of the house, which had all of the bedrooms and bathrooms. I walked down to the back of the house, noticing all of the lights were off. I walked into the master bedroom and even back into the master bathroom. My mom was not in the house. Ugh. Feeling intense dread as I stood alone in the dark room, I booked it to the kitchen where I saw my mother outside trimming the ivy that grew on the brick house. I went outside and asked if she had been calling me, and she said no. I told her I heard her voice coming from her bedroom. She brushed it off, but it deeply disturbed me. What was imitating my mother, and why did it call me to the back of the house alone? My mom believes in the supernatural, but my brother and I were convinced there was something in that house, possibly malevolent. He and I would stay up late watching TV, and we never looked out the windows at night because we could see some creepy reflections in them.
Nope.
We also went to sleep at the same time. We wouldn't leave the other up alone at night. He frequently had night terrors and spoke in his sleep even after he graduated high school, but this stopped when he moved out.
It's like the twins from Hill House.
Aww.
Aww.
Oh.
Little Nell, little
yeah, Nelly.
Jake.
What's his name? I don't think his name is Jake. Luke.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Dylan.
Connor.
At my father's house is where I had the most sleep paralysis during this time of my life. If you don't know, sleep paralysis includes all kinds of, quote, hallucinations, including seeing things, hearing things, and feeling things touch you. One of the first episodes I had was late one night at my dad's place. I was in bed lying on my back, and I felt myself slipping into paralysis. That must be awful when you know it's coming.
You can't do anything.
By now, I knew what was happening, and I knew I just needed to ride it out. I didn't see anything. However, I started feeling a light touch going up and down my legs.
Always the legs.
The touch got firmer and firmer. It started feeling like two strong hands were rubbing my legs, but like in a good way. That'd be nice. No, it doesn't say that, but I'm asking that. Like, are they like giving you a leg
rub? It's like a full body massage.
Around my head, I could feel something breathing in my hair and blowing it in my face.
Ew.
I could hear a pig grunting as if rooting around in my hair and pillows. Unable to move, I just lay there with chills going down my spine for what felt like hours. I never saw anything in my bedroom, but feeling something going through my hair and breathing all over me still gives me chills.
Listen, minus the breathing on me, I could be down. That sounds just like a leg rub and somebody playing
down
with your hair.
Yeah.
Oh, baby. But the second you breathe on me,
the second I hear a pig start grunting, I'm like, oh, you're the devil. Okay.
I'll put up with some devil hands if that's what it takes.
Where I currently live is where I've had the most experiences. The first night I spent the night in the house, I had a dream where I was just walking through the rooms of our new house. I went through the kitchen and into the front room before the two bedrooms. As I turned the corner into the front room, I saw a person standing with their arms spread up and away from their body, facing the corner.
Yeah, bye.
One of my mother's handmade quilts was draped over its body, concealing it to identify, but I could see its large, round head and outstretched arms. That's maybe one of the worst things that's ever been written
down. Why would it ever take a blanket?
I hate that. For a period of time, my ex-boyfriend lived with me, and the sleep paralysis episodes were almost nightly. Mm. I told him I could not move or speak during one of these, but if he ever heard me breathing quickly through my nose to wake me up, that was the only way I figured out how to signal him that I needed help while being essentially paralyzed and unable to speak. He stayed up later than me playing games in bed, and there were many times he had to shake me awake so I could get out of a sleep paralysis episode. However, the worst dream sleep paralysis I ever had occurred recently, about 4 months ago. I was in my room on the verge of falling asleep, lying on my side, drifting into a dream. In my dream, me and an unknown friendly person were walking through some woods at night. We came upon a house with a soft glow coming from the windows.
Oh.
The door was ajar, so we walked in and followed the layout of the house to a set of stairs leading to a basement. There was a basement door that was cracked open, emitting the soft glow of light we had seen outside. We quietly walked down the steps.
This is going from lovely to not.
To not. Very, quick. Very quickly. And opened the door and walked down a hallway. There was a large arched doorway and we could hear a fire crackling.
Oh. We're so simple.
We're so lame. We crept to see what was in the room. I peeked around the door frame and saw a circle of people sitting around a fire.
Okay.
The people in the fire were badly injured, or the people in the circle.
I would guess so.
Were badly injured, bleeding, and holding their own limbs and sitting on broken legs.
Ew.
They all turned and their faces were blank as they stared at me. I turned to tell my friend we needed to leave, but he was gone and I was alone. Fucking Judas asshole.
I like how even in your dream, this like nameless person who doesn't probably exist in real life is just like, see ya.
Bye. Oh, God. Caught, I turned back towards the room with the fire and noticed an old woman standing at the head of the circle watching me. She was so old, her skin had started to rot away from her bones.
Oh.
And I could see bugs crawling on her.
Ooh.
Of course.
She ain't old. She's dead.
She's also spry. She bent down and started crawling slowly towards me while the people in the circle quietly watched, her bones cracking and joints jutting as she moved.
This is a movie.
I was frozen in place in my dream. As I was lying on my bed experiencing this, I felt something grab my spine and twist, causing me to bend backwards in pain. The woman began to speak. Her mouth was not moving, but I heard her voice in my head. She told me I owed her something, and she was going to get what she was owed. She continued whispering words into my brain, and the pain in my back began to relax as I slowly woke up a little, but I was thrust into another dream. In this dream, I was standing on my porch, holding the door to the house wide open. This woman's voice returned to my head. She said if I do not give her what she was owed, she would hurt the ones I loved and bring pain to my life. As she whispered in my head, I watched my sweet puppy, who was the light of my life, run out of the door I was holding open. I couldn't move my feet as I watched her run down to the driveway into the road. A car speeding by ran over her and left her in a crumpled heap, and I still couldn't move.
Now listen here, you bitch.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No fucking ma'am. I could hear the laughter in my head. Suddenly, I woke up to a start back in my own room in the wee hours of the morning, and I felt hot tears on my face, but relaxed when I saw my puppy asleep next to me in her blanket. About a week ago, I had another instance where I was half asleep on my side with my back towards the bedroom door. I heard my door creak open slowly and then a loud bump as I felt someone drop their whole weight onto my mattress, making the bed shake.
Oh.
I couldn't move to see what had done this. Then abruptly, I felt big hands start slapping my exposed back. Not painfully.
But like in a good way?
Yeah, like another massage? Not painfully, but quickly, like someone was playing patty cake on my skin.
Huh.
Not sure what it meant, but as usual, I woke up the next morning perfectly fine. I have a theory that when you sleep, your mental guard is down as well as your physical guard. The veil that protects your mind is thin, and beings with strong enough intention can force their way in to communicate with you, whether their intentions are good or bad. In my bones, I feel like some of the things I've experienced are connected to my dreams and sleep paralysis, but I can't be sure. I started recording my dreams to find some pattern or clarity to them, but I haven't found any yet. Some people I've told this story to have said something is following me, but I'm not convinced of that. In the moment, all of the sleep paralysis I've had has felt very real and extremely vivid, but as time goes on, I've started to enjoy being able to experience something so creepy and cool.
Oh.
That's a good outlook.
That's a nice way to, sure.
Yeah, I wouldn't like it.
There's quite a few things of that story that, I don't like.
I didn't like several things in that story.
However, the image of dreaming someone going on this lovely walk with you and then just deucing as soon as things get heavy is my favorite.
Yeah, not a ride or die.
No. Not to bottom bitch.
No. I can't hear that and not think of Butters.
South Park? Yeah.
I just think of Butters.
Have you ever had sleep paralysis?
I've never had sleep paralysis.
Me neither.
Thank goodness.
The closest I've come is being in like a half awake state in which I couldn't wake up from.
Yeah. I've seen some dreams. Like I've woken up and it only lasts like 2 seconds and my dream will finish before my eyes, with my eyes open, but I can move and, you know, it's over. So
it's like some wires got crossed.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that I'll go through spells of maybe a month or two. Mm. Every single night I go to sleep, I'm falling asleep and I'm like, this is the night. This is when it's going to happen. Our next story comes to us from Heidi. And it starts off, this isn't really my story, but I love telling it anyway.
Okay.
Because it's equal parts creepy AF and gut-spillingly funny.
Oh, good.
Here's what I could piece together from my mom and sister's story. Backstory. My sister and I are 4 years apart, shared a room, and basically everything else, until I moved out at 18. My sister is a giant wimp when it comes to anything even remotely creepy and is a super easy target for jump scare pranks. One Christmas, my grandma... You hear that? Christmas.
There it is.
One Christmas, my grandma got us a fucking creepy-ass doll that we immediately and rather unimaginatively deemed the prayer doll.
Oh.
I actually kind of like that. I think that's imaginative.
Metal.
That was supposed to be Nathan Explosion and didn't quite work.
Wow.
I do much better pickles.
Metal.
The doll itself was one of those pretty unremarkable 90s things. All rubber and cloth and that with polyester hair that knots up immediately and can never be fixed. But it also had those, also super 90s, magnetic hands that when you pressed them together or completed the circuit in some way or another, it activated the voice box. You remember the ones. Yeah. Yeah. Also little dolls that you could make kiss and when they'd kiss it'd go...
Yeah.
Okay. Well, when you tapped the prayer doll's hands together, she would recite the entire Lord's Prayer, start to finish.
That's heavy.
You know the one. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, etc., etc. We were good Southern Christians, so the prayer doll saw some good use for a couple of weeks. But then it ended up at the bottom of the toy box for the next decade or so.
I thought you were going to say toilet.
And the story, one of the stories you read earlier, it said, we had taken some time to do something, and my brain immediately dropped in. And when you said, I had taken, my brain went, ketamine.
Whoa. It was like 0 to 60.
We had taken some horse drinks. Okay, no, it ended up at the bottom of the toy box for the next decade or so. By that point, I'd long moved out. My sister was then 16 to 17 and was going through our old stuff for donation when she ran across the long-forgotten prayer doll. Her dress was stained with crayon and dirt, and her polyester blonde hair was matted into a single unattractive lock at her back. Apparently, overtaken by nostalgia, my sister tapped the doll's hands together, not really expecting much, and was surprised to find that 10 years had not changed the quality of the recording. So it wasn't like the Billy Bass fish. It's like...
God.
I got a cough laugh. She listened to the prayer in its entirety and then tossed the doll unceremoniously into the donate pile. In the process of falling, however, the rear battery pack pouch thingy came open, exposing the voice box. That's when my sister noticed that the black switch was in the off position.
No.
I repeat, the voice box was off. I like that there's just a ghost ready to recite the Lord's Prayer.
Ready for years.
At any point, just one of these days. She did go, she did the only reasonable thing, dropped the doll, left the room, and refused to go back in. Finally, eventually my dad had to brave the depths of our hellish space to remove the offending hussy. And it took another hour before she'd go back in. When she finally did, it took a while for the adrenaline to wear off, but she settled back into her previous task until... Hours later, when she was lost in thought, contemplating some other long-lost childhood relic, she caught a movement out of the corner of her eye and froze. She watched in terror as the bedroom door creaked slowly open. At the very second the figure... a.k.a. my mother, popped up from the other side of the door, my sister let out a blood-curdling scream and, in my mom's words, ran 3 miles in place before falling to the floor.
Me.
You, though, actually. My sister 100% believed the prayer doll had come to seek revenge for being left in the toy box for so long.
I really relate to this girl a lot.
Regardless, the prayer doll is long gone and no one really misses her creepy ass, especially my sister.
Yeah, I get it.
Dude, after a legitimate scare like that, mm-hmm. you are so fucking
on edge. Jumpy as hell, man.
And by the way, running 3 miles in place and falling to the floor is Macy at the slightest of jump scares.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. No. With some...
And I feel like a good guttural...
Yeah, a big just single note expulsion.
Yeah, yeah. It's not really a scream. It's just sort of like your throat closed and all the air came up from your belly at the same time.
Squeeze a balloon, like stress it out.
Exactly. It's like, you know when you watch a baby giraffe walk for the first time?
Yes.
It's like that, only you fail miserably.
Yeah, it ends in failure. It's like the first attempt.
It's like you're watching it in reverse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
And then you get sucked up into the asshole of a giraffe, so.
The asshole, that's right. That's where babies come from.
You know, those cochlea that all mammals have.
The asshole.
You know, the baby hole.
How many assholes are on this ship?
What?
Baseballs.
Oh, wow.
By assholes.
Oh, that was a throwback.
Oh, I like looked at this and there's the word Christmas and Mrs. Claus and Ooh. Santa and all kinds of goodies. We've made it.
There'll be parties for hosting.
Simply having a wonderful Christmas time.
Fuck me. Fuck that song. Fuck you, Paul McCartney. And I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear any of you Christmas fuckers getting on the Facebook, talking about, I love that song. It is so special to me.
It's not, though.
Reevaluate your life.
Look, we've rendered our opinion. Okay? Yeah,
Just try to have less trash taste.
You know, honestly. I mean, really, you could just start by not... listening to Christmas music.
Hold, please. You take that thought and you put it up your butthole.
I do, and I've mentioned this before, this is nothing new. I do get down with the old school, old Christmas music.
That's my favorite.
You never hear it. Nobody plays it. They play the new age fucking Disney Channel bullshit.
If I hear Mariah Carey one more time.
Unless it's in the Cyberpunk video.
That's fantastic. And I will listen to anything by Wham, Christmas related, or George Michael at all.
Yeah.
No, but a good smarmy, mm-hmm. kind of slutty, mm-hmm. boozed up, blue eyes, singing me some Christmas songs.
Nights roasting on an open fire.
Absolutely.
You know, it's just like, there's some, you hear it and you're just like, you need a whiskey.
Mm.
And like a cigar.
A whiskey, a cigar, and like a blonde hoe.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever was hot at the time.
A blonde hoe.
Bring me a blonde hoe. Bring me your finest hoe.
I'm tired of these brunette skanks. I need a blonde hoe.
If you want to really splurge, you go for a redhead, baby. Treat yourself.
Oh, listen. This story was sent in by Kelly.
Kelly. The business bitch.
That was tasty. Mm. Speaking of tasty, I have to confess something to you.
Oh, God.
Well, it's not even a confession. It's just a funny thing, and I caught myself with the absurdity of it, just because I was like, it just made me realize how much shit, like, this band got growing up as being, like, the devil's music. But, like, so anyway, I was out there today.
Nickelback.
I was painting the big grow beds for the aquaponics.
You listen
system.
To Rockstar.
No. But no, way better, first of all.
Okay.
And so I was like, and I was just like blissfully happy. Yeah. And it was kind of warm and I was excited. I was painting my beds and I was outside and I just had a bath this morning. So I was like just feeling good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was like, you know what I need to listen to? Nine Inch Nails. And so I put on the Downward Spiral and played it in order.
Okay.
And it was so good. And I was just thinking, these stupid fucking parents, like, all of this time being like, it's just that these kids are fucked. And I was having, like, the most upbeat, happy day ever listening
painting
to the
outside.
Downward spiral. And it's like, y'all don't even fucking get it.
Several fucking times growing up, they were referenced as, like, the most hard sell your soul to Satan music.
Bad shit.
Yeah. And, like, being an adult now and having listened to a fair amount of it, it's like, nah. Not really.
It's fucking great. And, like, the reason I brought this up is, I don't remember what was, something was...
Sorry, there's a street fight happening.
Yeah, I know. This fucking semis.
Yeah. Fucking Mad Max is happening.
I said tasty. The reason I say that, I was like, I like Nine Inch Nails. Actually, I would say I love Nine Inch Nails, but I forget about Nine Inch Nails all of the time. And they're like, they're one of those bands, I don't know if you have any like this, to where, like, every time I ever hear them, I'm like, fuck, I've got to start listening to them. Because, like, every time you hear it, you're like, God, this is so good. Yeah. And I forget.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I've heard several songs, but I've never, like, actively listened because, like, I forget about them for some reason.
Yeah.
And so, like, today, I just, like, was like, you know, I'm going to listen to the Downward, because it's, like, a classic record, you know. I was like, I'm going to listen to the Downward Spiral. And it was so fucking delicious. The textures.
Yeah.
He's a textural genius.
Okay, here's Macy with her fucking undiagnosed synesthesia again.
It's delicious. Like, I was just, like, listening to it. And, like, I think this every time I listen to them. Because, like, Trent Reznor, he's just, like, a fucking electronic music whiz, you know?
Yeah.
And he layers so many weird sounds on top of each other. And I was just, like, tasting these songs. Mm. And I was just like, oh, my God, why have I not actually ever listened to these guys? Like, why have I not listened to Nine Inch Nails before like this?
I feel like, and you're talking about Nine Inch Nails, so I feel like this is going to sound like the most pussy, soft-ass thing I could say. But I feel that way about Iron and Wine.
Really?
Yeah, I do. Sorry, I feel
you've
almost...
You've listened to them for a while. I remember you telling me about Iron and Wine... What was that for the song? Something about, was it about a sword? What was it?
Woman King?
I don't remember. Woman you, I don't remember.
The Trapeze Swinger.
Yes, actually. It was the Trapeze Swinger.
Oh!
All right. That's the one.
Whoa!
But yeah, I could dig it. They're much softer and more delicate than.
Yeah, I know, which is what I mean by, like, I can't even. Hold on, let me think of something
really
hard.
The big difference from God is dead. No one cares.
I'm feeling a sudden need to justify my love for, like, Viking death metal right now, But no, yeah, Iron and Wine. I feel that way about the textural sensations.
Yeah.
For some reason, there's something I listen to, and it slides down the throat.
It does, and that's how I was just, like, listening, and, like, I was just jamming out, and then, like, this new weird, like thing comes in, and it's just like, oh, another fucking flavor.
Let me tell you, though, as much as I do enjoy Nine Inch Nails, I hate Closer.
Which one is that?
The big one. I wanna fuck you like an animal.
Oh, no, I love that song.
I hate...
I actually never knew that's what... And it was funny. I listened to that song twice today. I didn't know that's what it was called.
Closer. And I think it's just because I wore the wheels off of it when I was a teen.
See, I didn't.
Yeah.
Really, the first time I heard that song, I was like 19.
Well, it's just... I don't know. Something about... I'm gonna make this short because I don't want to be gross on Christmas of all days. But... It just feels like a teenage boy wrote a song about sex.
Well, so here's the thing. I didn't know, and this is all brand new to me, so I'm not, like, acting like I'm a Nine Inch Nails fan. I'm not. I've listened to them maybe collectively my whole life for about 8 hours.
Sure.
But I didn't, so the Downward Spiral, that record that it's on, that Closer's on, is a concept album.
Okay.
And so it's about, like, it's like a manic drug album. Like, it's about losing control. And so that song is on that album, and it fits perfect.
Okay, if it contextualized
it
in
was,
that sense.
And I didn't know that it was on that record, and so I was out there painting today, and I didn't know this order, like, the order of the album. I've never listened to it all the way through. And, like, it was just, I was listening to it, and then you just hear, boom,
bump, 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 and I was bump, like, bump, 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 yeah.
Okay. And I was in it, man, and I was just painting, you let me paint.
Yeah. See, that's...
And I was just, like, painting, like,
I will,
right.
That, like, beat, though, is pretty sick. It's pretty. I'll give it that.
It does make me think of Magic Mike XXL, and I can't help it.
Is that in that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it is.
Have to watch that. I changed my whole opinion on Closer.
Check that out.
Clark, we're stopping by Blockbuster on the way home.
Blockbuster. Oh, God.
Were you alive for the glory days?
Of course. No, I loved movie stores. It was a special time.
A Family Video is what y'all had up here, right?
There is still a Family Video and CBD now. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Strange.
Hey, you gotta make it somewhere.
Hollywood Video. Yeah. I remember me and Russ going there checking out games for the N64.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Back when you could do that.
And go rent N64 games from the video store. And it was such a treat to go to rent movies. Like, and that's something that that's dead. You know, like that time in history is over. And I'm glad that I got to be a part of it.
Yeah, for sure.
And, it started really ending probably when I was about 12 or so.
Yeah, you were probably still pretty young.
But I got several years, and I remember going there, and you get two movies. You get to pick out like two, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh my God. And you put thought into that shit.
Yeah. You would walk the store like three times, and you would carry around the one movie that you wanted, but if you found something better, you might put it back. And then if you were real lucky, your mom would get you the popcorn tub. Not the bag of popcorn, right. The tub.
See, I always liked the movie theater sized like candies, you know, like the ones that come in the boxes.
Can we talk about movie theater candy? Oh, what is your favorite?
All right.
If you say snow caps, I'm going to punch you in the tits.
Why? Because I like snow caps. They're not my favorite, but I do like snow caps.
Well, I mean, yeah, they're fine, but...
Twizzlers.
Really?
Oh, any day of the week.
You're going to count Twizzlers as a movie.
They are my movie food. Really? Let me tell you something right now. I'll go to fucking Dollar General and I put them in my purse. And I take them with me.
You know what I learned when I worked at a movie theater? They told us in training that they don't give a shit that
no
people...
No one cares.
Yeah. They basically said unless they're bringing in an offensive item such as like a stank cheese or something.
Yeah.
Or if it's an alcoholic beverage... then it's what, like, they're totally allowed to do it. But people would just sneak, to this day, I sneak candy into the movies, knowing that they don't care.
Oh, I don't even carry it. This is one day of the year I carry a purse.
I have a specific movie theater candy purse.
Have I told you about my movie snack system? My thing with the icy? Have I explained this to you?
No.
It's a ritual. So and I don't like the big peel-apart chewy Twizzlers. I like the strawberry, firmer Twizzlers.
Yeah.
Very important.
Okay.
And so, but what we do, or what I do, is that I always bring a thing of Twizzlers, but I'll get an icy, a Coke icy, from the counter.
A Coke icy?
A Coke icy.
You're a monster.
And
blue raspberry or nothing.
And I get a Coke icy.
It goes blue raspberry, white cherry, 50 layers of shit, then a Coke icy.
I do like to do Coke cherry Coke. I'll do like a layer sometimes.
I do like a cherry. I do like a Coke icy.
It's good.
It's good.
And what I do, though, is I'll stab my Twizzlers in it.
Yeah.
And so then, you get, this cherry infusion that happens, but then they get really hard.
You like to eat the hard, cold
candy. Yeah, and it's delicious, and that's my thing. Huh. And so I'll, throughout the movie, I'll always just have, several little Twizzlers baking in my icy, and then I'll just pull one out and replace it with another one and take a sip.
What a strange ritual.
I've done it my whole life.
Wow.
I love it.
I have a much less special one. I think everyone does this. I just like to put the chocolate shit on my popcorn. That's it.
Chocolate what?
Any form of chocolate candy that they have. You know, like a chocolate covered peanut or whatever, right?
Yeah.
How do you feel about dots?
I like dots.
Do you like dots?
Yeah, I have to eat them very carefully because they hurt my teeth terribly.
Yeah.
But I like dots.
They hurt my teeth. I'll grimace and get through it.
I like the texture. It's
a texture thing. How much of this interlude do you think made it into the episode?
Probably all of it. Sweet. We need time.
Stretch!
<Yep. laughs> So back to Kelly's story.
Yes.
Growing up, my mom had two little Mr. and Mrs. Claus Christmas figurines that used to belong to my nanny.
Cute.
Parentheses, grandma.
Oh.
They since have been passed down to me in my adult years. They are only a few inches tall and are very cute, a typical jolly Mr. and Mrs. Santa.
Oh.
If they had holes on top, they would resemble something of like a collectible salt and pepper shaker set. As a kid, when she would set out the Christmas decorations, I would always want to set up Mr. and Mrs. Claus and always felt a pull towards them. I could often be found talking to them, telling them my Christmas wish lists or telling them about my day.
Oh.
Fast forward to adulthood. My husband and I were getting ready to celebrate our first Christmas in our new home. I was getting the house all wintry and setting up the decorations and felt a wave of warmth spread through me. It's Mr. and Mrs. Claus. when I pulled out the box with Mr. and Mrs. Claus. My mom had given them to me when we moved into the house. I placed them on our little bar area with a few other decorations and continued on with the holiday spirit. A few days later, I noticed they weren't exactly where I had placed them. They hadn't made a significant move, but enough so that it was noticeable. I asked my husband if he had moved them, and he replied that he had not. The next day, I noticed they had moved again. I started to analyze the way they had moved and determined there wasn't any way for the bar to be bumped and would cause them to scoot over in such a way. It was like someone had picked them up and placed them back down. This continued for a few days more, and once my husband even said, "Oh, you rearranged the decorations on the bar," to which I replied, "I have not."
Nope.
Eventually, we both came to terms that something weird was happening. A few weeks later, I was visiting with my mom, and we were talking about holiday plans. I mentioned I had set up all of the decorations and half-jokingly said to her that I thought Mr. and Mrs. Claus were haunted. I was met with silence.
Oh.
I turned around to look at her, just sort of staring out into space like she was deep in thought. "Mom?" I said. She shook her head and waved her hands like she was brushing a memory away and only said, "I think they are too."
Whoa.
I've since begun talking to the figurines again. I'll address them or whatever entity might be haunting them and say hello or tell them if I need to leave the house or little things like that. I'll always be sure to be cautious and respectful while putting them away and have since stopped putting them back to their spots when they move. They just want to move.
Yeah.
This story isn't particularly spooky, but I know that a spirit or spirits of something is in these figurines. I felt my mom's reaction proves it to be true. Thanks for listening. I love the show and particularly love the spooky stories. They help me validate my own experiences. That was precious.
I love that. That was the sweetest,
cute,
sweetest story we have had on a spooky zone.
This little moving Mrs. Claus.
Oh, yeah, I just wanted to move.
Yeah, just, I needed a little shuffle.
I wonder, in my mind, though, I'm wondering, are they moving, like, as a couple, or are they moving away from each other?
Yeah, what if they just really hate each other?
Yeah, after so many years, they're like, I want a break.
They spend all year wrapped up together in newspaper in the attic, and they just want a couple of days just to scoot away from each other.
Yeah, exactly. They want to be away. Mrs. Claus is just, like, hankering for a shag with, like, the fucking...
For some reason, the first thing that came to my head was Rudolph.
I was going to say reindeer.
Yeah, me too.
I meant Father Christmas tree topper or whatever, but you get.
Shall we add another log to the fire?
Yeah. I'm getting the chilies.
I know, it's gotten cold. It's like 38 out here.
Really?
Yeah, it's going to be tonight. We're probably still in like the 40s, like right now, like 42 or something.
The bear?
The bear? Brown?
Not a spooky sode will pass without a reference to the bear.
The last Christmas spooky chode story comes from Kendra. My first story starts out when my dad's dad had been having really bad shaking spells due to him having Parkinson's disease. I was born August 8th, and he ended up passing away that October from a heart attack in his sleep. The night before his funeral, my mom had set out the yellow dress and socks that my papa had gotten... Listen to that fire. That my papa had gotten me before he passed away. The next morning, when my mom went to get me dressed, the socks had disappeared. She couldn't find them anywhere, even after moving from that house.
Whoa.
Fast forward to a few years later, and now in a different house, I was probably about 7 or 8 at the time, and I was in my bedroom reading on my bed with my bedroom door shut. That fire is really stealing the show here.
It's that hickory.
Oh, it's really putting on a performance for you.
Yeah, it is. Closing us out.
He knows, that little log knows that it's being, like, frozen in time right now on the podcast.
It's self-actualizing.
Oh, shit. You pass butter. Oh, my God. Okay. I was reading on the bed with my bedroom door shut. Out of nowhere, I heard heavy footsteps that sounded like boots, but had a bit of a limp. My door handle started to shake, and then my door opened. I got up and looked, and nobody was there. I walked, well, more like ran, to the living room, thinking it could have been my mom or my younger brother messing with me, since we were the only ones who were home. Well, needless to say, both of them were passed out on the couch snoring, and I stayed there, being too scared to go back to my room. Side note, I found out my papa that had passed away had a limp, due to him having to wear a brace. Huh. A few years later, we lost my great aunt unexpectedly The holidays were her favorite, especially Christmas. My Nana had laid down to take a nap before everyone had gotten there. She woke up feeling like someone was staring at her and looked up to see a woman standing in her doorway. She thought it was my mom, so she got out of bed and looked for her, only to realize she wasn't there. And my mom only arrived 45 minutes later. So she not only wasn't there, she wasn't there in the house. We all agreed that it had to be Aunt Kat telling Nana to get up, and she still had stuff to do. About a week later, I'd stayed the night with my Nana and Papa like I normally did on the weekends, and even more when I was off for the holidays. They usually fell asleep around 7, so around 9 or 9:30, I was still watching TV in the living room, where out of nowhere, I heard someone yell, "Kendra!" I got up thinking it was my Nana and looked into her room, where she was passed out snoring away. Over the years, I still heard and felt things, mostly footsteps in my Nana's attic. But when I was about 20 to 21, I was over at my oldest daughter's Meemaw's house to visit her dad since he was still living there. They had always told me about the woman in white that was in the basement. I had been down there a couple of times, but never really felt anything. There was one night me and my ex were in his room watching TV, and he had went down to the stairs to get something to drink. I looked up and saw a woman in white pass through the doorway, and I got the fuck out. I got the fuck up and hauled ass outstairs, and I refused to go back down there by myself ever again. The next Christmas, me, my ex, and our daughter were heading to my grandmother's, and on our way, we passed a car that had been flipped over into a ditch. I had this gut-wrenching feeling that something had gone wrong. We heard sirens, so we knew that help was close. We got to my grandmother's, and that feeling in my stomach wouldn't go away. That night, I got a call from my dad saying that wreck we drove past had been my Aunt Karen.
Oh.
And she didn't make it. Oh, shit. My aunt that lived in Alabama hauled ass to Kentucky to come stay with my grandmother. I went over to visit that afternoon after the funeral. I was sitting on the couch and I kept hearing footsteps in the next room, and I felt like I was being stared at from the corner, which is where my aunt always sat when she was there. My aunt looked at me and my aunt Rhonda, my other aunt, looked at me and said, "You can feel something." I nodded, and I had no clue how she knew that. I had my second daughter over a little over a year ago, and I had multiple conversations with my mom and fiancé about how I wish my Nana and Papa were still here so they could have met. So they could have met my fiancé, because they hated my oldest daughter's dad, and I wish they could have been here to meet the father of my second little girl. I was very emotional because I was just so close to them. About 3 weeks after I had my second daughter, I had talked to my fiance before bed, joking about how spoiled my grandparents would have made her. Around 3 in the morning, I woke up hearing someone say something, and I swear I saw my Nana standing over my daughter's pack and play that was next to our bed, looking down at her, smiling. She looked at me, nodded, and faded away.
Oh, nice.
Gave you a nice Frodo over the shoulder nod. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. So she did get to meet.
Yeah, she did.
Lovely.
She stopped by. There it goes.
The driving past an accident.
That's rough.
And finding out, that's a fear.
Mm-hmm. This was great. I'm really enjoying this. I hope the audio turns out. We just might need to do this through winter until, like, we can all, like, till we get our vaccines and shit, you know?
Yeah. If the audio isn't quite up to par, because I know we were bragging about our new mics, give us time to work on that. But I think it'll turn out great, and I hope you guys have enjoyed the crackling fire.
Yeah, I hope that comes. It's got to come through. These mics are so sensitive. Yeah.
And I hope it gives you a sense of warmth.
Yeah.
Through these cold days. By the time this comes out, Longest Night will have passed already. And hopefully everyone will be able to just kind of kick back, get cozy, and listen to some scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmas is long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be parties for us.
Okay, Patrick. What is your favorite Christmas song?
Listen, bitch, you don't know what you just started.
Like, if you had to narrow it down.
Okay, I quite enjoy... Well, that's a tough one.
Okay, top 3.
Well, see... And now we're into the realm of, like, what really counts as a Christmas song? Soundtrack to Die Hard. No. There's two albums, actually. Two Christmas albums by Mannheim Steamroller. I believe is the name of like the orchestra or whatever puts it together. Mannheim Steamroller that Dad has played every Christmas growing up.
Okay.
He had those songs going. And it's a mix of classic Christmas songs, but done in a very big orchestra style. Mm-hmm. And those always just, they make me 7 years old
again.
Yeah,
it's very nostalgic.
Yeah. And I will still, I'll put those on every Christmas and have those going. So I gotta say probably that, the entirety of those two albums. How's mm-hmm. that? But also, and there's a version of Silent Night on one of those albums that makes my mom, it like brings my mom to tears.
Aww.
So when I hear it, I get a little bit misty-eyed.
Yeah, a little misty-eyed.
God, now I'm having trouble. Start singing a few. Let's give our opinions on, first of all, let's get this one out of the way. I'm not talking about, what's the creepy one? I'm not talking about it. Maybe it's cold
outside. The one about rape?
Yeah. The one about,
what's in this drink?
Yeah. Assault? No, thank you. Mm-hmm. I love Santa Baby, and I know you do too.
I love Santa Baby.
A real good, sexy Santa Baby.
Yeah. You just gotta, kind of croon it out.
Santa Baby.
The
whole song is just one long orgasm.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, then, like, she slips in with, like, the come and trim my Christmas tree.
Is that?
Yeah.
Is that pubic hair?
I think so. And then she follows up with saying, like, with decorations from Tiffany's, but it's like, that's a double meaning there. I know what you're saying.
I know what you want me to trim, bitch. Any sleazy crooner.
I love them.
Any sleazy crooner. I don't want to admit this, but I have a soft spot for Michael Bublé.
I don't.
Yeah.
I don't.
I think it's because my mom plays a lot of it, and it.
Yeah. I'm not judging, but I'm just not a fan personally.
Yeah. I'm not a fan.
I think he's a try hard.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree. But I like a little try hard. I like a little chi.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, I use some chi. There's some chi there.
There's some chi there. I know I'm going to think of 400 things that I wish I would have talked about after this, but
I feel like I have a personal wild card favorite Christmas song with Oh Holy Night.
Okay, yeah.
Because it's more, you know, it's like biblically based, you know? Yeah. Fall on your knees.
Oh, yeah, one, baby. You know? Fall on them.
It's so dramatic.
Yeah.
That like powerful minor right there,
oh, yeah.
You know? And I've always loved that song.
I like the one that's like a child shivers in the cold.
I don't know.
We must
song.
Bring him silver and gold. We must bring him silver and gold. You know that one?
No, I don't. I swear. Oh my God.
There's a comedian by the name of Mike. Oh God, I don't remember his name. So now I'm just straight ripping him off. But I'm admitting it. I'm taking it from somewhere else. He talks about how a lot of those Christmas songs sound scary, and he replaces some of the words with a knife, and for some reason that's the first thing that came to my head. However, I love the ones that sound scary, like yes. Holy crap, here comes Jesus. I like scary ones. Go.
I like the scary ones.
I like the scary things.
Really, I'm very limited. I'm limited because, like, once you leave, like, the 50s, I start, my appreciation declines. Like, if it's a graph, like, those
yes.
you see that decline hitting about 1960.
Also, dude, how weird is it that, like, Christmas music is like a continuous climb.
Yeah.
Everybody puts out a fucking Christmas album. And to me, I hear that and I'm like, oh, that's a flop. But those are like, like the best ones.
Fucking Kenny G.
Oh. Yanni.
I'll fuck with Kenny G. Listen. Everyone can fuck with Kenny G.
Yeah.
How do you turn a sax down, man?
No, you can't.
Can't.
Are you kidding? Sexy sax man.
Oh.
Which again brings me to Last Christmas, which I've got a soft spot soft spore for.
Oh, what's your thoughts on, I don't know if this is the actual words, but Malakamikimaka is a thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day.
I am not a huge fan of kitschy. Well, I don't know. That's because some of my favorite music to listen to, just to like actually jam, and I really do like it, is that very kitschy 1950s. Like you might hear it on like the Fallout soundtrack, you know, like Dean Martin and shit like that.
Yeah.
Because I love the sleaziness. I love the sleaziness. But I don't know. For some reason, I'm not into that one. Oh, I will tell you, I don't like kitty Christmas music. Like, you know, the Rudolph song.
No, me neither.
Yeah, I don't like any kind of
Frosty
kid.
The Snowman! Yeah, no.
No, I won't fuck with kitty Christmas music. Mm-hmm. I want to sound like, I want a Christmas song that sounds like there's someone doing blow in the corner.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
I love White Christmas a lot.
Did blow remind you of that?
It did, but that's up there for me. Also, Blue Christmas.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Hmm.
The fire loves Elvis.
The fire is like, yes!
It is Elvis.
It is!
Yeah!
Elvis! Elvis stopped by.
He comes out. You want a kick?
Yeah. Look out! Elvis. Wow. Maybe you and I should make a Christmas album.
Sure.
Yeah. What should we do first?
We have the mics now.
Original songs or covers? Or a good mix of both?
A good mix of both, yeah.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Do our favorite Christmas songs. Mm-hmm. And we'll cover those. Mm-hmm. And since I have no actual, I don't have an orchestra's worth of music ability, mm-hmm. I'll just do mine by mouth.
Acapella. Like just all vocals.
Yeah. Great. And you can do your drum.
My cajon that I play at about a 3.5 on a scale of 10. It'd be wonderful.
Hey. So if you want a sick bass only version of a Christmas song.
That would work for Santa Baby, though. Just, like, do, like, a loungy, like, walking bass line behind
boom,
it.
Boom, boom, boom. That's not right.
Was that Mr. Sandman?
Mr. Santa. Okay. Favorite holiday food dish? Something special that you only, like, get around this time. And it can be any food, just as long as you sort of associate it with this time and Christmas and Christmas. What did we call it? Christmas Yule? Wintermas?
Wintermas.
That's what it was.
Sweet potato casserole.
Really?
Oh, yeah, baby.
You fuck with that?
Oh,
do you fuck with the marshmallows on top?
I'd like to do candied pecans instead.
Oh, ooh, that sounds good.
Yeah,
I'll fuck with that.
I like it better.
By the way, did you see that
we pissed off pecan pie people.
Oh,
that was like grits.
You guys were incensed.
And it's like, here's the thing. It doesn't matter who bakes it. It's a texture thing. I think I've had some top tier pecan pies in my day. Doesn't do it for me.
See, and it's like an attractive human that you're just not attracted to.
Yeah, sometimes it just doesn't work for you.
You can taste it and you can go, I appreciate this, mm-hmm. and I realize that it's an extremely tasty pie.
I could see why people would dig it.
I could see why someone would like it.
But it seems like jelly.
But I don't. It's like, I'm trying to think of a wildly popular handsome man that I don't like. Pecan pie is like Army Hammer.
It was Army Hammer. Who is that?
Okay, let me redo. Pecan pie to me is like Chris Hemsworth.
Okay.
I see that he is an attractive man.
Army Hammer.
Pecan pie is Chris Hemsworth.
Okay, great. Still a hunk, but...
I mean, a hunk.
Not...
An attractive man.
You're hunked.
For sure.
Fire is just like, y'all go home.
Elvis is like, stop. We need to find an ending. Somebody stop us.
I don't know.
Favorite Christmas movie.
Listen, fire.
For me, it's easy. Even though I'm completely overwhelmed with it because they play it on loop every single year, mm-hmm. and I probably won't watch it again for the next 15 years. It's A Christmas Story.
I don't think I've ever seen it all the way through.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Watch it for the dad alone. Best character.
I don't think I've not seen it all the way through. I love Christmas Vacation.
Mm.
I love Nightmare Before Christmas. I don't know. What's another Christmas movie?
Die Hard. Have you seen Die Hard?
Yes, I've seen Die Hard.
Are you team Christmas movie or not Christmas movie?
I don't really see the connection.
Sure.
But I'm not here to argue
it. Macy, there's a Christmas tree in the movie.
Oh, there it is.
And also, my love of my life, rest in peace, Alan Rickman.
Love Alan Rickman.
And on that note, everyone have a wonderful Christmas time. Mm. Have a good holiday season.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. Should we fade out with a non-copyright version of simply having a wonderful Christmas time? Honestly, doing all of the Christmas things.
What? Wow.
Or what about Santa Baby? Saint Nick, honey, come to my house and put up my tree.
Legs.
And that's it. And that's the Christmas episode. Come and put up my legs for me. Okay.